Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. In the sixth chapter of the book of Romans, from which our study is taken, Paul is emphasizing an ingredient in this system of salvation by which God saves man, to be obedience. Now, he has emphasized other things before this, but this particular chapter seems to dwell upon the necessity of man understanding. He must obey what God has told him to do. And this obedience, he shows, must be to the act of baptism. Baptism puts us into Christ. And it is when we're raised from baptism that we enter into this newness of life. When one speaks of the newness of life, he thinks of being born again, as Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter 3, and the washing of regeneration, as Paul wrote in the book of Titus, and how that one, when he is baptized, he becomes a new creature in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17. And in verse 5 of chapter 6, we read how that we become joined in unity with each other and with Christ when we're planted together in Christ. Now, we're baptized into Jesus Christ, and baptism is, of course, like the likeness of his death, his burial, and his resurrection. But in all of this, the old man of sin is put off. Paul speaks of the old man. That's the former sinful man, as represented also forcefully in the book of Ephesians and Colossians. The old man is crucified, that is, he's put to death. He's separated from man. He's destroyed. And there is now this newness of life. And inasmuch as we entered the new life, Paul says we shall not continue in sin. Having died to sin, being separated now from sin, and washed clean by the blood of Christ, in obedient action being taken in baptism, man is freed from sin. He is spiritually free in Christ, and he has obligations to live accordingly. In baptism, we see how that sin is washed away by the blood of Christ. In baptism, we see how that the redeemed are in a new spiritual state, a new relationship with God. Then we turn to verses 8 through 11. Paul said, "Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we also shall live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ." Now, since we are dead to sin, separated from sin, Paul is answering the question, shall we who are dead to sin, shall we live any longer therein? Indeed, we shall not. We are to be as was Christ. The life to be lived has a twofold application. We're not to live in sin while we're here upon this earth. We are to live the kind of life that the Lord teaches us to live. And further in this chapter, he tells of some of the things that should characterize our lives as Christian people. But we also see that we have that hope of an eternal future, redeemed life in heaven with God. Now, this is what is accomplished when we are obedient to the commands of the gospel. Now, he says that Christ shall die no more. Death cannot destroy the one on whom we rely. Friend, that is so comforting. It is so powerful for us. Christ is presented in 1 Corinthians 15 as the first fruits of them that slept. Herein lies the foundation of our hope. And he died once. The book of Hebrews in chapter 7 and in chapter 9 emphasizes Christ died but once, and what a contrast that was to the repeated sacrifices that were characteristic under the law of Moses. Shall we continue in sin, Paul asked? Well, the resounding answer, of course, is no, we shall not. But now there are obligations that we have in Christ. Paul says, beginning with verse 12, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye shall obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace." Now the law, of course, said you sin, you die. But we don't live under a law that condemns us. We live under a law that saves us. Being spiritually alive in Christ, Paul says we ought not allow sin to be a part of our life. This is something that the Christian has to learn as he matures, as he grows in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. God forbid that we should continue to live any longer a sinful life. Our bodies should not be used for sin. We ought not to obey the lust of the body. We are not to yield our members, our bodies, to things that are unrighteous. We are, rather, to be tools in the hands of God, like spiritually alive people. That's the way we should be. That's what it is expected. This is a part of the system of salvation, that once we're in Christ, we're to live in a fashion that's compatible with Christ. And doing that as we walk in the light, as he is in the light, as John has written in 1 John 1, sin will not have dominion over us. Now, when we were practicing sin, sin did have dominion. But we are to make sure that sin does not have dominion over us, and sin cannot have dominion over us if we walk uprightly with the Lord. Well, these are comforting thoughts, don't you think? Particularly that sin shall not have dominion over us. We are freed and delivered from sin. And we need to remember that great and wonderful blessing. The credit belongs to Christ, and by his blood we're washed clean. But where go these blessings? We have certain obligations also. Beginning with verse 15 of chapter 6, Paul sort of presents a before and after picture of one who, before he's a Christian, and what he is after he becomes a Christian. He says, "What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law but under grace?" He says, "God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness." Now notice, "But God be thanked." Now here's their past. "God be thanked, you were the servants of sin, but things are different now. Ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you, being then made free from sin, ye became servants of righteousness." What is the conclusion that's to be drawn from all of this Paul is teaching us? Shall we sin because the condemnation of the law is no longer upon us? No, we're not living under that old law. Absolutely not, Paul says. God forbid. It's just the opposite. Do you know that you're a servant of the one you obey, dear friend? Whichever one it is, whether it's God or the devil, whether it's sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness, we're the servant of the one that we obey. And we're always servants. We're never completely free to do just as we please. Either one or the other is our master, and the one we obey is the one that we serve. Now, Christians had once been servants of sin, but now, because of the grace of God to whom thanksgiving can be given, these Christians had obeyed that which had been delivered unto them. Paul said they had obeyed what he calls that form of doctrine. This was a message that had been delivered to them as the gospel was preached to them. What had they obeyed? Paul said they had obeyed a form, a representation of something. Well, what is that form? It's the form of a doctrine, a teaching which then had been delivered from sin. And 1 Corinthians chapter 15 tells us of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, the foundational facts of the gospel by which we are saved. And upon their obedience to this form of this doctrine, we're made free from sin. Now notice, in baptism, one dies to sin. He's buried, he's raised to walk in a newness of life. Now that's what Paul has affirmed. The form that he obeyed has been that which is a representation of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. Baptism is a representation of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. It's a form of that doctrine by which we are saved. Now, Paul says that in 1 Corinthians 15, we're saved by the gospel. You know, if it wasn't for the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, there wouldn't be any such thing as salvation. There wouldn't be any hope. There wouldn't be any forgiveness. There wouldn't be any of the blessings that we have in Christ Jesus. But because of what Christ has done, because of God's mercy and grace toward us in providing for us this Savior who died in our stead, who shed his blood, the cleansing power of our soul from our sins, because of his death, because of his burial and resurrection unto life, all of these things that go to make up this great plan, this great scheme that God has for saving men, because of that, we ought to obey a form of that doctrine. Now, that's the good news. That's what the word gospel means. That's the good news to sinful man. He can be saved because of what God has done. No, he can't be saved by his own merit, but he can be saved by becoming a servant of the Lord Jesus. And it's when one obeys the gospel that he then becomes a servant of righteousness. Notice, God be thanked, you were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed. Do you not see how that Paul is emphasizing the necessity of obedience in the way that God saves man? Oh, yes, what God has done has been most wonderful, but man must believe in the Lord to the extent and the kind of faith that will cause him to obey. They obeyed something. They obeyed the form of the doctrine, the form of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And what was the result? They were made free from sin. They became servants of righteousness. Well, we're going to speak more of what Paul teaches us in Romans chapter 6, Lord willing, when we have another study of this great and marvelous book of Romans that presents to us the system of salvation. This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.